Welcome back to another episode of Laugh Not to Cry. I'm your co-host, Jeremy GJ.
And I'm your co-host, Commander Cody.
And we're back at it again.
Bro, so, all right.
Uh-oh.
As
Let's
we know,
try
it's
to
getting
decide.
cold.
Oh,
It's getting cold.
getting.
It's getting colder.
It's getting colder.
Yeah. Besides the second half of this week where it's actually like 50s. But, I told you before about how like when it rains really bad, my windows leak in my apartment.
No, you did not tell me about
Oh, well, all right, so that's another
that.
thing. The windows in this apartment are awful. They're terrible.
Oh, boy.
And so when it rains too hard and it's going towards the windows, it seeps under the window. There's a hole there somewhere that the water gets in under the window panes, collects in the windowsill,
Oh.
and then overflows
Oh
because
no.
it's because the middle is sagging down, so it all collects there and then flows over onto
Oh
the inside and drips down the
no.
wall in both
No.
bedrooms. Yeah. And so I told the apartment complex about this in the summer, like, hey,
Right.
the windows leak really badly. Like, we have to go through multiple towels in a very, very short rainstorm to keep it from dripping down the walls because we don't want mold and all that stuff. And they're like, all right, well, we already have a list of apartments that need new windows, so we can put you on that list. I'm like, fine, all right, whatever.
Never good.
Obviously, they did not get to it.
Right.
They did not get to us. They didn't start putting in new windows until August.
Oh, why so late?
Fuck if I know. But and they only did it. It seems like they only did it in apartments where people aren't living. Like after they moved out, then they replaced them.
So they can't advertise it when they this apartment has brand new windows move in today.
Yeah. So like one of the apartments in my apartment building got new ones and I saw them putting them in. I'm like, all right, cool. Hopefully they do ours next because they're in the same building.
Dun, dun,
Nope, they did
dun.
not. They
Nope.
did not do a single thing. So they still leak. And in the winter, because they leak in the summer, they leak even worse in the winter. And there's a huge draft.
Oh,
Terrible draft.
boy.
So, and this is the second year that I've been here. So, this would be the third winter that I'm going through here, technically. My second year, like my 2 year anniversary, was in August, actually. So, yeah, this would be my third winter here. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the cold. This room gets bitter cold. It gets super dry because all of the moisture goes out the window with the draft. And so I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. They're not going to do anything about it. I'm going to see what I can do about it. So I spent all weekend researching, like, what do I got to do to fix this draft? Because a lot of people, when they, a lot of people winterize their windows anyways, but they do the like
Plastic.
sheet of plastic. Yeah. I was thinking about that, but I don't want to do that because I'm sure Donut would tear it with her claws and render it useless. So it would
Probably.
just be a waste of time and money and all that. So I was like, all right, what else can I do? And so I'm looking at the windowsill. And of course, because it leaks with all the water, it's dirty as all hell in there. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll take the windows off and like clean them and see what I can do. I don't know if you've ever looked at a window when it's off. But they like in the windowsill and around the windows frames themselves, there's like a felt lining that allows like it weatherproofs a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit.
Yeah.
And allows for easier gliding and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All of the felt around the actual window frame matted.
Ah, yeah.
Just packed with mud.
Yep, because it was wet.
And
got wet.
Yep. Yep. and so, like, I take off the windows, I clean them, and I'm looking, like, I can feel up at the top a really bad draft. I'm like, what can I do? What can I do about this? Like, I tried to actually take out the felt from the windows and from the window seal. I'm like, this isn't working.
Yeah.
Like, it's just trying to cut, and it's not actually, like, coming out. I'm just cutting off small chunks here and there. I'm like, that's not going to work at all. So I end up getting this, like, expandable foam tape. It starts off like an eighth of an inch thick, and then as you unroll it and take the tape off and put it on there, it starts expanding up to an inch, like an inch and a half. And the less it expands, the more like weather tight it is, I guess.
Okay.
So like at the full expansion, it's not watertight, but it can be airtight.
Okay.
If it's more compressed, like closer to that 1/8 of an inch, it'll also be closer to watertight, stuff like that.
Okay.
And so I cleaned the windows in my bedroom, put that on there, got all that going, taken care of. And I go to do the same thing in the main bedroom. And these motherfuckers that put the windows in. So, because they are horizontal sliding windows, they have wheels on the bottom, you know, because they actually sit on the wheels, so that way they can roll left and right and all that stuff. So, for the right window, the handle is on the right, the locks are on the left, the wheels are on the bottom. For the left window, handle's on the left, locks are on the right, wheels are on the bottom. I take off the left window in that main bedroom. The wheels are on top. And so, like, that window, we can't lock.
You can't lock, like, it's
upside down. It doesn't go far enough to the left to lock. If we try to press the locks, it just presses the middle pane of window out.
Right.
Which creates a bigger gap.
Right.
For more air to come through.
Put the window in upside down.
Or
put the wheels on the wrong side.
Yeah. So I'm like, did these motherfuckers put both windows in upside down?
Yes, I gotta check it.
I cleaned off that. I was like, you know what? It's out. I'll clean it up, see what I can do about it. I take off the right window. That's the correct window. They have two right windows. And they put one of them upside down. I said, fuck it. We'll turn it upside down and let it work.
I hate apartment complexes, man. I really do.
I'm like, God damn it. Whatever. So I cleaned that one off too. And I put the foam on the correct right window. But I can't put it on the left window because the wheels are on top. I can't put the tape over the wheels.
Mm-mm.
So that one just has nothing on. Not that it's not even resting on the wheels because it's not that high.
Right.
So the felt on that window is even more matted because it's actually sitting on the felt as opposed to the wheels. So that one barely slides open or closed at all.
Right.
You can't lock it. It's got a huge gap up at the top where all sorts of drafts come through.
Mm-mm.
And like, I told you guys about this in the summer.
Yeah, don't give a damn. They're like, you're not going anywhere.
Exactly, yeah. They're like, we're not going to do shit until you're out of here.
Yeah, because basically how they have it set up is that if you sign that 12-month lease, they don't give a goddamn about you.
Like, no, you're already paying for it.
Yeah, because if you break that lease, they're like, all right, then pay us the rest of your lease up front.
Yeah.
Before you leave. And they know most people can't do that. Because I'm running into the same issue here. they were the windows here, and it's really bad because like we had moved, we moved from a place that had just been built.
Yeah.
And no one had ever lived there before us. And so everything was still in working order. So heat was fantastic. There were no drafts from the windows. Or if there was, it was like just barely. And I had I had a curtain right up with like a thermal blackout curtain. And so that covered whatever draft I had. Here, oh my god, so if you stand in front of my window, it feels like a fog machine of cold.
Oh yeah, it's yeah, it's immediately 10 degrees
pouring,
cooler
pouring into my room, all the way under my bed. And I was going to put my curtain back up, and I was just like, that's fine, I'll just put the curtain back up. Because I told them in the office, your windows are shite. And they were like, yeah, they're just old buildings.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right. Change the windows, you pieces of shit. But so my Ohio family buys me this blackout curtain rod so that it makes sure that it goes from side to side. And you don't get that where you normally put up flat. You'll get it where the light comes into the side. The blackout curtain rod, it goes all the way around. It touches
the
wall.
Yeah, it's long enough. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you don't do that. So I go to put that up. Apparently someone else had a similar idea. And I'm sure a few people before that had a similar idea.
Oh, I'm sure.
So all they did was just putty over those spots. And so now I can't get drywall anchor screws.
Yeah, because it's already blown out.
The wall because there's nothing for it to dig into. Or the level of drywall that they have there is so shitty that it won't take anchor. Whatever it is, the drywall screw is just spinning in the same the anchor, it's just spinning in the same goddamn spot. And then when I just tried to put the damn drywall screw into the wall, it was like, nah, I'm not doing that. So
You talked about that a little bit before. Like, your window doesn't have studs around it.
No.
Which is super weird because it's supposed to have studs for structural support.
Yeah, I don't know what this apartment is.
That's probably honest. Half the reason that it's leaking, that it's trappy so bad, because it has no support.
We don't have the water problem, but also Christina has a sliding door because she's in the main room to go out into the deck, to the balcony, and her room is immediately like 15 degrees colder than the rest of the apartment. And what makes it worse is that they put the only heat vent in front of that door.
Oh, so it immediately escapes.
So, and the problem with that too is that the vent cover doesn't open. Even if there was a modicum of heat that could get to her,
it immediately goes out the door.
It goes out because there's so little coming out, and we can't open the vent cover. And I put in this work request like three times. The first time, they came and fixed the vent cover in my bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put in a request for that. The one in my bathroom is fine. It was working just fine, but I could see that they had took it out and there was ceiling shit all over my floor when I walked into my bathroom. And I was like, this is not the bathroom you were supposed to be in. Second time they came back, they did the one in her bathroom and skipped the one in front of the balcony door. And I put it on the same work order. I said the one in the main bathroom and the one in front of the balcony door. Just skip the one in the balcony doors and we fix the one in the bathroom. And so gonna have to put it in again.
Yeah.
For the one in front of the balcony door. Because her room is so cold.
Is there one in like a hallway or something that you don't need?
No. So the hallway between
I would just say take that one off and replace it.
No, there's not one in the hallway between us, though. So like the next two are in the living room and we can't get to those because we have,
Oh yeah, they're up high and
yeah, we have vaulted ceilings. So I would need like a 20-foot ladder to get up there. And so there are no other ones to get
I'm
in there
surprised there's
unless
not one in the hallway.
no, there's not the one in the hallway between her and I. There's no vent.
That's super weird.
It is super weird, but there's not one.
Maybe there'd be one in the kitchen.
I would have to go look, but so far as I know, there's not. But also, the other problem is they painted over everything, and
Yeah, of
so
course.
I'm not trying to ruin my bits and strip my bits out,
You're right, trying to get through that paint.
try to get through the paint to get the screws out that they painted over. And that's another problem. They painted over everything, so all the hinges on the closet doors, they don't work like they're supposed to because they painted over the hinges.
Like
They
they, why the
painted
fuck would
over
you
the
paint over that
track.
stuff? Why would
They
you paint
painted
over that stuff? It
it over
makes
the
no
track.
sense.
They didn't replace the tracks, so now I can't open or close some of the doors for the closets because the thing that's supposed to keep it in the track is broken off for in my
Jesus
room, with the
Christ.
laundry room. It's a fucking shit. Our appliances are from the early 1970s.
Go back to filling
But
up the broiler pan with a bunch of water to soak your feet in while you're standing there.
we could. Like it's literally like it has a manual clock on it, and that's what you're supposed to use for like the timer on the stove.
All right.
Now
All right.
we have a more recent microwave,
Yeah.
but it has a blue light on it, so you can't read the numbers.
I love apartments.
They just replaced our door because the HUD people were coming through, and before there was no less than a quarter inch gap all the way around the door. And so,
Jesus.
like, literally could put a quarter through the damn door. It was so wide around the frame. And they were like, oh, yeah, we should probably replace that before they come do this survey.
Hey, yeah, probably.
And so they did, and it's better, but not. So like this door fits in the frame better, and it has like a little slider insulator at the bottom,
Yeah.
but all the way around the frame it's still, you just feel the cold air just like
Well, boy, have I done the research for you. I know exactly what you need to fix that problem.
gonna need that do that for our windows too. And because my solution was, all right, I found some double-sided poster tape that I've had that my mom snuck into my school supplies for when I was going to college that I had no clue about, and because I hung no posters in college whatsoever. And I was like, I'm gonna just use this. And so I just put some double-sided poster tape on the wall, and I put some on the blackout curtain, and I stuck it up there, and I was like, this is gonna work. It's ugly,
That's
but it's
it.
gonna work. It didn't work. I think because it's so cold, it's coming in and drying out the tape, and the
And just
curtain's
falling off.
already heavy, and it's just
Yep.
falling right off and pissing me right the hell off. So yeah, I'm probably gonna, it's too cold to be taking off windows and cleaning them, but that's more than likely what I need to do because it's
See,
so cold.
I thought the same exact thing, and I was like, and that's why I was doing the research over the weekend, because I was like, all right, it's gonna be cold over the weekend, but Wednesday and Thursday, it's supposed to be warm, the warmest days of the week.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna be like, all right, that's the day I'll do the research, get all the stuff I need to do, get I need to get, and then I'll do it those days, because
Right.
that's when I won't mind if the window's open after work. But I ended up doing it yesterday because it was still warm enough. And Yeah, so luckily it's expanded enough. I don't feel a draft anymore, or at least a lot better, a lot less of a draft.
Well, that's
So
good.
hopefully the room actually stays warm
Yes, that would be
this winter.
nice. And yeah, so basically we've just resorted to layers. So,
Yeah.
and I'm someone who like runs hot when I sleep anyway, but I got two blankets on my bed. Christina sleeps under about four, and one of them is a weighted blanket and one is a fleece blanket. Because I walked in there the other day because she's been gone. She's in Georgia right now. And I opened the door and it was just tundra. And I was
Yep.
like, ooh, that's the
Yeah,
worst for her because she's a super cold person
that's
always.
how it gets in my room usually.
Yeah.
That's why
And
I did all
so
that shit.
it was, I was like, I gotta try to figure out some type of solution while she's gone so that she comes back and it's better. But yeah, it's cold. Like in all the windows in our living room, if you walk by them, it's like
Yeah,
a
it's
ghost
bad.
scene in a movie. You can like see
Yeah.
it's like the swirls of cold just coming in under the window. You're
It
just
gets
like,
so bad so quick.
yes, it's awful. And then everything, I don't know what it is about the setup of our apartment complex, but it just sounds like a fucking wind tunnel always. And it just all throughout the dam, and it just sounds like Armageddon's happening outside every time a gust of wind comes through here. And then we have the fireplace that doesn't warm anything except for the hearth of the fireplace. Like
Yeah.
they're like, if you turn this fireplace on, it'll warm up your whole living room. You have to be standing a foot away from that fireplace to feel
Press X to
any type of
doubt.
warmth. Like literally have to have my feet on the stones in front of the fireplace to feel any warmth. Like
Yeah.
it's and but then if you have it on, it eats gas.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
just and I feel like that's what it is. I feel like the apartment complexes and the utilities are in cahoots and they're colluding to make money because there's no reason that every apartment building has such shitty windows and such shitty doors where it's not
Well,
protecting the residents from the elements.
they just don't care because people have to live somewhere, and people can't
Yeah.
buy houses in this economy. So
It's
that
so
and they're
trash.
with what the population is, they're building more apartment complexes and stuff like that to cram more people in a smaller space to allow for more people to live in an area.
Yep. And they're doing it quick.
Like
And it's
they just built some over, I think earlier this year, they built some across the main road from us. And now they're building, I don't know if it's going to be apartments or if it's going to be like condos or what, but they're building more living spaces in our cul-de-sac again,
Oh
right at the at
wow.
our entrance, like right
Yep.
across that.
Yep. I do remember
In
seeing
that
that the
big
last time
field.
where they broke it down. They start breaking ground. Yeah, and like when I lived in Delaware, they were constant like on 23, it's like the main strip of Delaware, they were building stuff right off 23. And it's like one, living in Delaware, absolute hot garbage. Why? But also, this is not a place you want to live, like right off of 23. It's never not busy. It because it's the main thoroughfare. Because again, you don't live in Delaware. You drive through Delaware to get to Columbus or to Michigan. So there's always people going through there. And there's a historic tax in Delaware, basically, because it's the historic city of Delaware. So everything is super expensive, which is why we left, because they were about to raise our rent in our apartment to $1,500. And we were like, you're shitting me. This is Delaware. Like where we live, there's nothing to do. What do you mean $1,500? So we're like, yeah, we're gonna have to scoot on that. And I mean, we're paying $1,155 now, but also like that doesn't mean our windows shouldn't work.
Oh yeah. No, it's the they're more concerned. It's the same thing with like if you you can see like people building or like a bunch of houses being built in a subdivision and stuff like that, and all of them are very cookie cutter.
Yep.
You don't want to buy those houses either, because those are all built from the same contractor, and they're because they're building so many houses at one time, they're going to use the cheapest windows, the cheapest appliances, the cheapest paint, the cheapest building materials, and the cheapest inspectors. So a bunch of that stuff, it's like all the TikToks that you and I send back and forth of like the home inspections and stuff. All of that stuff that comes from like new builds are new builds in those subdivisions where everybody is cookie cutter house.
Yep.
Because they're
charge you $500
building them quick.
Yep.
Yeah. Because they're building them quick and they're just trying to get it all done. And so everything is super cheap. And like, yeah, it's technically a new build and a nice house, but the foundation isn't great. It's going to crack. I'm sure there are some like some joints or some pipes that aren't done correctly. The appliances are going to be cheaper than hell and break within a year. Same thing happened. Actually, the same exact thing happened with my dad when he bought his house in Florida. Again, it was a new build in a suburb that they were building up in down in Florida. And they had problems with what was it? Like within the first year of them owning that house and his wife living down there, there were like cracks forming on the walls.
Oof.
from the felt joints like not like everything settling and things not being like built properly to settle properly.
Yep.
There was, I think some of the appliances did break, like the garbage disposal and stuff like that. And the sub pump that they had went out.
just
everything. Because they don't care. They're just trying to get it done quick because they already are getting their money with people buying the houses.
Yeah. It's nuts. It's really nuts. Because I drive past some of the builds and I'm like, that doesn't look good. And also, like, it always concerns me too, because I'm like, y'all are building these in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Some of these materials should not be element facing. Like,
especially when they are being built, like they have all the why am I forgetting the word? The stuff inside the walls. Like they have all of that stuff just
like the insulation
facing the elements. Yeah. Yeah, the insulation. Just facing the elements and the snow and the rain, and that stuff shouldn't be just shouldn't be dealing with any of that.
Nope. And like I can drive past and like, ooh, that's the cheapest plywood that you could ever find. Yeah. And I'm just looking at the bills like, yeah, because we had that problem when I worked at Ohio West. Well, it wasn't when I was working, I was still a student, and they built our new studio and it looked nice, it was cool, whatever. But the floor they put down was a wooden floor, which is fine for us to dance on, if it's treated correctly.
Right.
But whatever they did, because we also had like a basket weave under the floor. And so what the basket weave allows for is for the floor to rebound so that we're not just smacking into the floor or on hard concrete or whatever, it being super stiff.
Right.
Whatever concrete they used did not set fast. And so when the temperature changed and however they placed the floor, everything would move.
Yeah.
And so the wood planks would shrink.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In the wintertime and then expand in the summertime.
Yep.
Which is awful, because what's happening now is that they're not staying in place. You're getting gaps in some places where big enough we could put a dollar bill in it, and it's cutting people's feet. And so, like, I would get rips under my toes which is one of the worst places to get.
Yeah, because you're always on them.
And it's also because we danced barefoot.
Yeah.
Like, we were not allowed to wear shoes in the studio whatsoever. And most of the time, you didn't want to wear socks because it was super slick. And so, literally, like, cuts under my pinky toes. People were cutting up shins and knees. All because they wanted to rush it. The other problem was, I want to hope that they did it. I don't know what they did. But the place where our studio was a former pool.
Oh, so it's already like.
So they show pictures and stuff, but part of me felt like they just filled in the pool.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
And didn't actually take all of the pool out. And
I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't.
And yeah, like there was a bunch of problems with our old apartment similar to that where like, I would be home, it'd be a random time of day, and I could hear a tremor go across the entire apartment complex, and then it would hit us, and the whole apartment would fucking shake for like 10 seconds, and then you would hear the tremor go past you and continue around the complex. I could not explain to you what the hell that was. But it was the freaky shit. It was like mini earthquakes at random times. And I'll just be sitting there watching anime and it'd just be like
the people down at the end all flush their toilets at one time. I just sent a shockwave around.
Everybody all like at the randomest time of the day. Like it was never like at the same time. Like it was just I'd be home on a weekend on a Saturday. And the fucking building was shaking. I'm like, what is happening? Is this about to collapse in on me? And then it just settled. And then I hear the tremor go. I'm like, what?
What? That's super freaky.
It was really uncomfortable. It was super fucking uncomfortable. So, yeah, it's like damned if you do. Because if you go buy one of these houses that you're charging $525,000 for that they just built, you're likely to have issues within the first 2 to 3 months of living there. But you bought this house, you got a mortgage that's supposed to last you, you know, the next 25 years to pay this damn house off. Damned if you don't. You go to one of these apartments where they're old or even new built and you run into all these goddamn problems. And then you're like, all right, well, I'll just build myself a goddamn house, and then you get a contractor who you think you can trust, and they build your shit and just whack.
Like, yeah,
because they're cheap, they're buying cheap materials and cutting corners to get shit done fast. And it's like one of the problems I had here, like they like boasting about how we got new countertops and shit in the bathroom and in the kitchen, they didn't seat the fucking sink right. And so within the first like few weeks of me living here, I went to go clean the sink and I became a goddamn DJ. I was in there, the bowl was just spinning around the hole in the countertop. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? And so I tell them, they're like, oh, yes, it was silly contractors. We'll have one of our people come in and fix it.
He comes in. Contractors, y'all didn't check this shit out?
There's a bunch of shit they did check out because they're like
better contractors. Damn,
there's still line marks on our cabinets where they were trying to line up where the new granite was supposed to go. Like they, there's two electrical outlets, one up here, one down here, less than like 6 inches apart. Like I don't. I don't know, bro. But like I told them, they're like, we'll have somebody come fix it. He came in and did the worst possible caulk job I've ever seen in my life. And it was so bad. It was so bad that I could tell it was bad even with clear caulk. He used clear caulk and I could still see how bad of a job he did.
Like, So you could see the hole around the
I could see the
all the stuff?
caulk. I could see the
Yeah.
caulk on the granite,
Yeah.
which is clear for one. So
So
how
it was,
much caulk did you use that
yeah, and globbed all the hill.
I could see clear caulk on granite, on black granite? And then 2 weeks after that, I'm fucking DJing again. I'm Grandmaster
Jesus.
Flash in this bitch. So I was like, I'm gonna put in another work order. And then I was like, no, I'm not. I'm not doing that again because they're gonna do the same shit. So what do I do? I YouTube it. I watch a 5 minute video. I've never caulked anything in my life. I watch a 5 minute YouTube video. I clean off the damn old caulk. Clear. Oh, the other problem was he didn't clean off the old caulk.
What? That's the biggest problem. That's probably the entire reason it fucking broke
He
again.
didn't clean off the original problem. It was still on there, and then he just tried to put clear caulk on the white
Over it.
caulk.
But it was already broken, so it wasn't fixing anything.
So I take my box cutter. I cut off the old caulk. I go to Walmart across the street from me. I get new caulk. This is my first time ever doing it. I do two passes. I've had no problem since. And it's cleaner than what he did before. It looks like
Oh
it, how
no.
it's supposed to look. After me watching a 5 minute video. And I'm just like, so now that's why I haven't talked to them about any of the other problems. I'm just like,
Yeah, no, if it gets bad enough, I'll just do it myself.
I'm just gonna fucking figure it out because that's where y'all have me at right now. And it's gonna be more time sensitive if I get it right. Like
Yeah.
I can figure it out because y'all come in and fix whatever whenever y'all want to. Like they were like our thermostat went out. And I was like, I don't know anything about that. And they were like, oh, did you change the batteries? The handyman came in, like, did you change the batteries? I was like, I don't. Why would I know this?
Yeah.
Why? I don't
That's
know.
supposed to be like hardwired in.
This thermostat runs off of, I think, AAA batteries. Two AAA batteries.
Oh, it's the digital one,
Sort
right?
of digital, like it has like a small digital readout, but it has like a little switch.
Oh, the little slider still.
Yeah, and so it's
Huh.
not like it's new or anything, but I'm looking at it
Yeah.
like, you think I was just about to try to rip the face of this off?
Oh, right.
Why?
This is an apartment where this stuff is supposed to be checked yearly. This qualifies as not my problem.
But they said it was my problem. If it goes out, I'm supposed to replace the battery. What are you talking about? At the old apartment, they said if a light bulb goes out in this place, we can replace it. Which makes sense because it's
Yeah.
their light bulbs, it's their fixtures, it's their
Yeah.
building. I don't own this. I didn't put this thermostat on the wall,
Yeah.
and I don't know how it works. All I know is that there's a switch, and I flip the switches, and I either
I
get
flip
cold
switch it
air or
between
hot
hot
air.
or cold.
That is what I'm supposed to know because I don't own this building. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm done. But also, I've really been toying with the idea of just getting an RV. It's just like, hey,
It just parking up somewhere.
RV per month costs as much as an apartment. Like a nice one. Costs the same amount. 11 for 11.55. I can go get me one that not even like a pull along, like one that you can drive, a true like mobile home for the same amount that I'm paying for this apartment. Now you get into like where you're going to park it and clean out the septic tank and all that shit. But like just for living quarters, like just and I went into one of those. Actually, this one was a that attached by via fifth wheel. This wasn't even one you drove, and I walked into it and I was like, this is as nice as my. And at that time, that was when we were living in the brand new apartment. I was like, this is as nice as the apartment that I live in.
Oh yeah, so a lot of them are really nice. Like some of like the one that Catherine's mom and dad have, it's a fifth wheel, and it's got a whole toy hauler on it for motorcycles and stuff.
Yep, they had the toy hauler on it,
and it's got like it's huge. There's one of their friends has one that has like it's a fireplace in there, and a full stove, like
yep,
full stove and full oven, like
yep.
two door oven. And like, what? First off, how do you make enough money to get this stuff? Second,
for leisure,
what the hell?
Right. And when I walked in there, I was like, yo, this is livable. Like,
yeah, I mean, it makes sense for Catherine's parents because they do literally just travel the U.S. to live.
Okay.
Because yeah, her mom is a travel nurse.
Right, that does make sense.
So it makes sense that they would have something that nice that they could live in.
Yeah.
But it's like, boy, that'd be real nice.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I can work in any market. I parked this bitch in a Walmart parking lot for a little bit that I'm there and just figure it out. And it was like that one was a two bedroom. And I was like,
yeah.
And like it had like the second bedroom was like a loft, but it was like and it was in the toy hauler. But I was like, if I don't have any toys to haul, I can make that another like full bedroom. Like,
yeah.
And I was looking at it, it's like, huh. Mobile living might be the move because I'm sick of this. This is crazy. This is the number of stuff that I'm just like, I don't. Like, I couldn't find a stud in a wall to hang up a calendar. Like, I bought this Christina, this, like, real fancy, like, glass calendar where you can, like, erase stuff.
Okay.
And, like, change the month or whatever. And I was going to put it in the wall. And I was just like, I can't figure out where shit is in this damn building. Like, nothing's lined up properly. And I was like, I had to go, like, get, like, a really good stud finder to figure out where anything is. And I just don't. And I don't want to. And I don't want to spend the money. And I don't want to put any holes in there. It's because they're just going to patch it up. And it's going to suck for whoever who's next in here. I don't know how the electrical's running here. I'm not trying to zap the fuck out myself. I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it alone. And so that calendar I bought when we first moved in here is still floating about somewhere in here, never been used. Just fresh as the day as I bought it. So, but anyway, we spent the entirety talking about that because...
Look, apartments suck, all right?
Fucking suck, bro. But also,
and unfortunately, that's all you can afford.
The houses also suck. And so, like, yeah, somebody,
there's no winning.
I work at the studio. The husband of the owner is a real estate agent. He's always talking about, oh, for the amount you're paying for rent, I could have had a house. Yes, but also in Ohio. Like, when he said that a few years ago, the answer was, but yes, the house would be in Ohio. And I'm not trying to stay in Ohio. And also, I understand how this works. And yes, I could at that time get a house for almost $1,500 a month, but the lease would be for like the mortgage would be like for 50 years.
Right. And plus, in a house, you have to put down a down payment that we can't save up for because they're too busy paying rent.
Paying rent. Also, that also comes with the expense of appliances,
yeah,
which I would be, you know, have to pay for if I want to have a fridge and a stove and a washer and dryer and such space, or maybe a dishwasher, because that's definitely a must have nowadays. Like, I don't even get into apartments. I'm not going into apartments now where I have to bring my own washer and dryer, because
right, if it's not in unit, I'm not doing it.
No, like, are you thinking about just be lugging around a washer and dryer from place to place? Absolutely, yeah. The hell not. So, and even so, he stopped having that discussion with me, especially when that market flipped, that conversation died real fast. But I was also having a conversation with the studio owner, because she used to sell cars. And I was telling her about my lease, and she was like, why didn't you just buy the car? And I was like, because if I were to finance the car, it would have been $100 more per month. And she was like, really? And I was like, yes. Y'all have money. Y'all have a house.
You're a studio owner. How much do you pay me?
Y'all have it
for each class? You know.
You can go buy a vehicle. I cannot. Like,
yeah.
If I want something that's going to last me through an Ohio winter, no. No, that's not. No. And, like, I end up lucking out and getting my car that I have now for the same amount of payment that I was paying for a lease on my Mazda. But that's because it was at a Lexus dealership. And it's a Hyundai. And they were like, please get this Hyundai off our Lexus dealership lot. And I was like, I will do that for you.
Deal.
But that is an exception to the rule. Like, that is not happening everywhere. Like, if you want a new car, everything is marked up.
Oh, yeah.
At minimum.
Even used cars at this point, everything's marked up. Oh,
absolutely. Because
people don't want to buy new cars because they're too expensive.
They're too expensive. They keep breaking down. They have that, you know, that planned obsolescence built into the cars. But also, we're still recovering from COVID. And so the chip shortage has not been solved necessarily. And so the used car market is still up. So it's just like, no, I can't just go. If I want something that's reliable, it's going to last me a while, I can't go get an early 2000s car. It's just not. It's just not. That's just not the move. And then a mid-2000s car, yeah, you might get away with it, but it's missing some serious safety features. And
at that point, it's also going to start to need a lot of work if it doesn't already.
Yes, and car maintenance. That's the other thing they don't talk about. Car maintenance prices are exuberant. Like, if you take your car to a dealership, you're dishing $60, $70 for an oil change. Like, and most people are like, well, why don't you just go to Valvoline or something like that? I went to Valvoline when I had my little 2001 Lexus IS300 in the dead of summer. It was 95 degrees outside. I could not leave my car. It took them an hour and a half to do my oil change, and I was just sitting in the car, sweating and dying. And I was like, never again. I will take this car to the Lexus dealership. They will give me a loaner. When they finish doing whatever they need to do with this damn car, I'll drop the loaner off and pick my car up. Because
that's what I need to do. I need to get my car to a dealership and see if they have a loaner. That way I can actually go and do shit.
Yeah. And that's like, I'm paying for convenience, but also I'm paying for people who also work on these cars all day specifically. Like, they were struggling to get off the oil filter off that car. And I was like, oh no, I can never do this again, because no, I have things to do.
It's
and I'm also sweating. Like, I'm sweating sitting in my car. So, but yeah, once you start getting to the maintenance of those older cars, then it's just like, yeah, but people are like, well, I bought my car for $2,500 and it's still running. But yes, did you put more than $2,500 into keeping it running?
Probably every couple months.
You're in the red now. You did not make any money off that investment. Yeah. You did not save any money off that investment. you have bought a shitty car and you are paying for said shitty car. Like, you're going to keep paying for it. And I love my very first car. It was a 1996 Acura TL. It was not cheap to take care of that car.
Like, no.
I had to get a whole new exhaust. I had to get all new brakes and rotors. And what else happened to that car? I had to get a new starter. That took all of my money that I got from my graduation party.
Ugh.
Which I was planning to use for college.
Right.
To get books. Like, I love that car. But it was not cheap having that car. So, yeah. Everything's expensive. I'm sick of being poor.
I'm ready for it to end.
It's got to be over. It's got to be over sooner than later, because I'm done with it. I'm looking at jobs where I'm like, well, what do you need me to sign in blood? Like, just
Catherine
for
better
a
start selling
piece.
Feet pics. Hey, listeners, if you want to buy some feet pics,
I'm gonna shave my big toe. If I shave my big toe, you won't be able to tell it's a man's foot. I promise you.
If you like men's feet, we got that too.
I mean, yeah, but the gnarly four hairs on my big toe, it's just wild. It's just, I don't know why it's there. It's not saving anything. It's not protecting me from anything. But those four hairs just freak me out. I just don't understand.
Someone will like it.
Yeah, somebody would be into it. People are into
everything. Anyways. And that
kinda, yeah, I have a prompt today, and it just kind of popped into my head because, you know, when you're sleepy, that happens sometimes. And I had to roll over and make sure I put in my phone, because I was like, this might be a good topic. And I don't know how long we can stay on it, but we make things long anyway. So
that's what I tell her.
It may not be big, but it will be long. The topic is, why are there so many things we're, quote unquote, supposed to do?
Okay.
Yeah, think about that for a second. And so I think what happened was, I was laying in bed. Was I laying in bed? No, I wasn't even laying in bed. I was just laying on the couch after work, and I was so tired. And I was just like, there are so many things I'm supposed to be doing right now. I'm supposed to be at the gym. I'm supposed to be cleaning my apartment. I'm supposed to be finding another source of income because I'm so poor. I'm supposed to be figuring out a way to pay all these bills. I'm supposed to be reading. I'm supposed to be making dinner. I'm supposed to be eating healthy. I'm supposed to. And my brain just went, why are there so many things I'm supposed to be doing right now? And there is an answer, but knowing the answer does not solve the problem.
Right, because it's a lot of it has to deal with society and, like,
correct,
how we've been it trained essentially to always be busy and always be doing something. And if we're not doing something, then we are worthless humans.
Correct.
In this capitalistic society.
Yes.
If we are not doing something to either better ourselves or better our situations, we're useless.
You're useless. You're a piece of shit.
Why? And we deserve everything bad that happens to us.
Yes. And so, knowing that, I did nothing. I did none of the things I was supposed to do.
Because, like that Bruno Mars song, the lazy song or whatever.
I don't feel like doing anything. And I really just laid on my couch. I really did not a goddamn thing. Because something about me, as much of a rule follower that I am, if you try to tell me you're supposed to do this, likelihood is I'm not going to do it.
You're supposed to love your homies.
Now I got to hate you, Cody. Sorry. Hate is not the opposite of indifference.
It took, now it I gotta took feel nothing. How many years?
Now I got to feel nothing about you, Cody. Like
you got to not kiss me on the mouth. Yeah, got him. Yeah. Got him.
Yeah, he did it. He did the reverse psychology on me. You're not supposed to kiss your homie on the mouth. Full tongue now, bitch. full sin.
First video podcast.
tongue to tonsils. But also, then there's the opposite of that. There's so many things you're not supposed to do. And some of them make sense, but some of them, when you apply to like very specific things, make zero sense. So like, there's a whole bunch of things I'm supposed to do as a man. And then there's a whole bunch of things I'm not supposed to do as a man. Right?
Right.
And that frustrates me to no end. Because every human experience is varied and different. And having these expectations of what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do is adding an extra layer of burden that does not need to be there.
Right.
Like, it just is super exhausting, right? Like, I'm going to the extreme. Bear with me, audience. For our 7 listeners, I want to keep you. I do. But I got to go there for just a second. As a heterosexual man, I'm not supposed to like anything going up my ass. That is a thing, right? As any heterosexual man.
That's a big thing in the society.
In the heterosexual world, in the heterosexual realm, as a hetero cis male, you're not supposed to like anything going up your ass. Why? I don't understand that argument. I don't understand that sense of boundary setting, because if that thing is going up your ass via a woman, that does not make you gay. It makes you explorative and exploring your body in all the ways that it can happen, in all the ways that can happen, things that can happen during sex, right? Why is that something I'm not supposed to do? Am I saying that I'm a fan of things going up my ass? No, I got a bad prostate. It scares me. Like, it could, but also
you gotta massage it.
It could also make it worse. You know,
that's
when
true.
I went to the doctor, he put his finger up my butt and I was like, oh, that hurts. He's like, oh, it's not supposed to. And I was like, but it does. So please get your finger up my butt. Like,
damn, doc, how fat is your finger?
Like that, I got scarred and I was like, I don't really, if that's going to be my experience, I don't want that anymore because that was a super painful. And I tolerate a lot of pain, but it almost brought me to my knees. It was so painful. So also,
I was going to bring you to your knees one way or another.
this is a call to action for men, especially black men. Go get your prostate checked. We have a lot of prostate issues in our community. You don't have to wait till you're 50. Go get your prostate checked, because if you're experiencing anything that's weird that's happening, and I talked about it on the internet before, somebody reached out to me and was like, thank you for saying something about that, because I've experienced that and I didn't know what that was. And I was like, yes, go see a doctor, because I have something that's called an enlarged prostate, which causes stuff. It causes a condition called prostatitis, where my prostate enlarges and it starts pressing on different things. And so it causes issues where sometimes I ejaculate blood. Sometimes I'm just pissing pure acid. And so that causes UTIs. It causes painful urination. It causes it causes a myriad of different things. So go get your prostate check, right?
I need to. I'm afraid I'll like it.
Yeah, I mean, if you do, you have a fiance. Is she? That's
true.
Sure. I'm sure she's trying to get in that booty hole. So,
bro,
you will be making her dreams come true, Cody.
She's trying to get in it. She's trying to see it. She's trying to do everything. I'm like, no, get away from me. Back up.
But that's because as a boundary set, as a quote-unquote hetero cis male, we are told you're not supposed to like those things. And it's not fair because you might. And our G spot is in there. And that's okay if you do. That doesn't make you any less of a man. It doesn't make you any less of a hetero cis man because it is a woman. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And yes, there's a fear. There's a fear of what somebody in society may say about you. There's a fear about being vulnerable because as a man, when are you ever that vulnerable where you're like spreading your own asshole? You're not.
Oh, never.
Right?
Never.
When are you holding up your own legs to your head so somebody can get in your butthole? You're not. But that's an ultimate form of being vulnerable with your partner. And it doesn't take anything away from you. It doesn't take any strength away from you. It doesn't take any power away from you. It's just a situation that you're in that you're being explorative in, right? This is not me trying to convince you to let Catherine in your booty hole, but it also is. Cause
you hear
like
that, Catherine. It's not happening.
But it's also like, but it also is because it's like, Why be scared of that? And as we're scared of it because we're supposed to not like that, right? You're not supposed to like that if you're a straight man. And it's like, that's not real. That's right. Because being a man, the title, the genders, men and women are a social construct, right? So,
right. Yeah.
What I am and what I'm not supposed to do based off of this social construct, sure. But in reality, it's not real. It's not real at all. So there are so many things I'm supposed to be doing, especially as an adult. I'm supposed to be working out, but I'm also supposed to be reading. Like, okay, if I go work out, when am I reading? And if I'm reading,
right,
when am I working out? Like, you're supposed to be doing 15 million things at one time, but also not supposed to be doing this thing over here. And it's just like,
so kind of a addition to this, do you think that, well, obviously everybody deals with like these expectations of what you have to do or you're supposed to be doing as adults, and obviously there's going to be differences in what you're supposed to be doing based off of if you identify as a man or if you identify as woman. But we hear a lot about how, especially for men, it really compounds, if you aren't doing anything, to better your financial situation, you are less of a person, but also less of a man in your relationship as well.
Right. Where's the question?
The
question.
It's more of, do you think like any, I guess it's what question am I trying to ask? That's a great question in itself.
I was like, I hear what you're saying, and I'm agreeing with the expectations of men and what we're supposed to be doing in a relationship. We're supposed to be the breadwinners. It's supposed to be this, but
right.
That's all based off of the societal structure of what a quote unquote man is.
Right. I guess do you think that any one group of people has greater expectations when it comes to that kind of stuff over another? Or if we don't want to go with like, oh yeah, no, men have it worse, because that can also be complete bullshit. Is there a way to split these expectations and like help each other manage them?
So I would say yes. Yeah. So what's happening in this conversation is a really good one. Is that what happens is people realize this and understand this, that expectations are gendered. So the expectation that the man is the provider, the protector, the breadwinner, the handyman, all of these things are what have been wrapped into the expectations under the subheading of man.
Right.
And then under the subheading of women, the expectation have been set that they're, you know, are homemakers. They are the right. ones who are nurturing and caring and take care of the family. They do the cooking, they do the cleaning, they do the blah, 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 blah. Most people have realized that is bullshit, mm-hmm. right? Because there are a lot of variables that change that. So in my household, my partner, Christina, does do most of the cooking. She does most of the cooking because she enjoys cooking.
Right.
Not because I can't cook, because I cook very well. And my mother raised me to do that. But I don't want to impede on something that gives her happiness. And this is not right. me saying that it makes her happy. It's her telling me that she enjoys doing it and it gives her something to do and she enjoys doing that. She cooks, so I clean the kitchen.
Right.
Right? That does not fall under the responsibilities of what is gendered for a man, right?
Correct.
I'm supposed to bring home the money. She's supposed to cook and clean, right? That's right. bullshit, right?
If we go back to 1970s, correct. Yeah.
Right. And so I think people are already dismantling that, but there are also people who are having a hard time realizing that, right? Because there are still people right. who are living around longer and longer and longer and then spewing out the same, this is how it's supposed to be, this is how it's supposed to be. So like in my household, we split bills.
Right.
Because that's the world we live in. That's how it works for now, right? There might be a point where I take care of all of the bills, but that would be out of a choice because I want to, not because I feel obligated to.
Right.
Right. There are bills that I take care of that I don't ask her to pay for. I cover utilities, right? And that's just because I know I have those funds and I just do it because I manage all of the budget, right? But again, that also wouldn't necessarily, if we go back to those supposed gender roles, wouldn't be my responsibility, right? That would fall under the homemaker responsibilities. Right. So I wouldn't say that if we go back to the original question, under the guise of man versus woman expectations, that either one has more than the other.
Right.
I would say
both of them are pressured equally in different things.
In different directions, right? And I think people are realizing that those things can overlap.
Right.
Now. And so it's okay, that's okay. Right? It's not outlandish. It's not weird. It's not mysticism. It's just how things actually work. If someone's lacking somewhere, if you're a good partner, you just help them so that right. your household stays together and working and functioning in a way that it's supposed to.
Right.
So yeah, I think we just need to have more conversations, open conversations about just doing away with expectations
right.
of people in the grand scheme of like, this is what you're supposed to do, this is what you're supposed to do because you're a man, because you're a woman, right? Because we also have people who don't identify as either of those things.
Right.
And start setting expectations of, if you're living together and you're trying to make a household together, you each pick up the slack of the other person. Now, that makes a difference between like if they're completely being a bum and they're choosing not to do anything at all to help. That's just a bad relationship. Get out of that.
Right.
right.
Right. Yeah, at the very least, talk to them. And if they refuse, then yeah, get out.
Yeah, get out of that because that's just not a healthy person. right? Especially in the world that we live in with how money things are right now, if someone's refusing to add value to the household via working or taking care of the house or taking care of the children or taking care of chores, then that's not a person you should be hanging around. They need to go get their right. life. But in a well-functioning relationship, each person is looking out for the other. If Christina is not feeling like cooking because she's not in a good mood, I make dinner.
Right.
Because I know how to cook, it's not anything out of the ordinary, out of my way to make dinner. Cool. Or if she's like, I don't feel like making dinner and I'm out, and I'll go, oh, do you just want me to pick up something? Can do that, right? You make it work, right? The kitchen's dirty. I always clean the kitchen, but I'm like, I'm super tired. I had a long week. Christina cleans the kitchen. You just pick up where the other person is just lacking for that moment. And that's how you do away with this is the expectation of
right
your role in this as this gender versus that gender. You just do. You see it, you do it, and get it done so that everything works more harmoniously.
It helps the household as a whole.
Yes.
If you just do it instead of complain a bitch that they don't do it.
Correct. And that's the only expectation that should be set. It's just that if we're going to make this work, then we just have to pick up with the other person, you know, left off or wasn't able to get to. And that's all you should expect from a partner, because anything more than that is predatory. It's like being a leech. Anything less than that is enabling bad behavior. And so, or laziness or whatever. Or so finding that middle ground where you're just kind of just playing teeter totter is for what I found to be the best way to run a household. And we do that fairly well. Now, we still don't have any money, but
but that's a whole different thing.
Bills get paid. Like, every bill right. gets paid. It gets paid on time. We just don't have any money afterwards, but everything gets managed and paid, and we survive.
Right.
I'm over the that's what I'm supposed to do, that's what I'm not supposed to do type of mentality. Like, if I want to explore this, then I will. As long as I'm not harming anybody else or harming myself, causing anyone else duress, I do, just do, right?
Right.
And I think that's the, especially as, I think a lot of it stems for me, not from just being a man, not just from being cis, but also being heterosexual, but also from being Black. Like, that subsection of person is so restricted and bounded that it's scary to be a Black cis hetero man. There's so many restrictions on what you can and can't do that is infuriating.
Yeah.
It's infuriating. And it's like, oh, if you're a man, you're not supposed to do that. If you're a Black man, you're not supposed to do that. It's like,
So, do you think some of these expectations are obviously some of them are getting better because we are having these conversations. Are they getting better within your culture and your group, or are they like, are a lot of people fighting back and kind of making them worse?
I think it's getting better, but what's happening is that the voices of dissension are the ones that are louder. And so
yeah.
it when you see it in like you see something pop out of Black Twitter, it seems as though Black people have not progressed. But when you start actually having conversations with people, a lot of them are like on the same page. And so I think there is progress. I just think that there's not enough people being as loud as the voices going against it. And we need more of those people being just as loud.
Okay. Right?
And that's hard, because that takes vulnerability. And
yeah,
a lot of it comes from, now I know a lot of it stems from the history of how Black people were treated in this country, Black men being broken, Black men being stripped from families, all of this stuff, where a level of bravado has to be held at all times in order to feel as though they're keeping some type of integrity and strength.
Right.
You have to be the dominant all the time, because if you let up and show any weakness, then a white man can get you. And to an extent, I understand that in public spaces.
Right.
We have been painted as a threat. And so the response for some people is to shy away from it, which is what I've done most of my life, is just to show that I'm not a threat, which I'm really tired of doing because it's exhausting. And then there's other people who lean right into it, who lean all the way into it full blown. It's like, yeah, I am one. So what?
Right.
Which some people take as confidence. A lot of it's just a fear response, covered in bravado. I'm trying to be somewhere in the middle where it's like, no, I'm not a threat, but if you're going to see me as one, that's your problem, not mine.
Right.
So I think, but the problem is that they take that same bravado into private spaces, and that causes problems. That causes domestic abuse. That causes domestic violence. That causes families being broken up. That causes cheating. That causes infidelity. That causes a lot of pain within the Black household. And learning how to be vulnerable and learning how to be soft in those private moments is what's going to allow someone to be a well-rounded individual, because the world does suck. The capitalism sucks. You kind of do have to have a level of hardness to live in a society that we do, because if you're soft all the time, people will take advantage of you, because that's just how the nature of our economy and our businesses work. But at home, that should be your safe place. That should be your soft place. That should be your place where you feel warm and welcome and able to delve into the deeper side of yourself that you don't necessarily show the rest of the world. I think right now people are trying to install that switch.
Right.
And it's taking a bit, but I feel like it's getting there. Mm-hmm. And I think like conversations on podcasts where, you know, prominent Black men are coming out and being honest about feelings and stuff like that. And having conversations about like, hey, it's not cool for you to cheat on your girlfriend. Like, having those type of conversations is like chipping away at it. Of course, there are always going to be people who are like, no, y'all just saw some fuck shit and y'all soft. Y'all weak and y'all simps. But I feel like there's more people who are like, isn't it all right for me to be a simp at home? Because I love this woman.
Yeah, that is your significant other. You're supposed to be.
That's the whole point. I'm supposed to be soft for her. I'm supposed to cater to her. I'm supposed to take care of her, because she does the same for me, that give and take. So that balance, that harmony. So yeah, call me a simp. I love that woman. So sure. Yeah, so I think the more that becomes like public facing, the better it will become. Now the problem is I don't hang around dudes, so
you can't have those conversations every day with other guys.
I can't get in the circles and be like, "Hey, yo, no, it's not cool for you to cheat on your girlfriend. If she want to lick your booty hole, go for it, because you love her." Because I don't hang around dudes whatsoever.
Just make sure you're clean before you
enter. Make sure you're shaving your asshole and actually wiping, because wiping your asshole is not gay. Men,
soap to anus. Soap to anus.
Men is not gay to wipe your ass. It's called hygiene. Wipe your ass. I'm so sick of it. Like, yuck. You're gross. You're still walking around in whitey tighties with shit stains at the age of 35 because you think it's gay to wipe your ass. Get it together, man. I know your ass cheek itch, your butthole itch, you're scratching your ass in public. That's why you sagging, because you're trying to get ass to your, get air to your dirty asshole. Wash your ass with soap and water. Let the water run through it. If you think you're gay because shower water touches your ass, you probably are just gay, because it's not the water. It's you in your brain. Go explore. Stop putting it off on other people.
what the fuck was that Ben Shapiro tweet? Oh,
go,
man.
Wash your ass. Please. I'm sick of smelling you in public. Every bar I go to, just walk past a man and there's a whiff of ass. Wash your ass. Soap and water. Please. Not just for me. For your tidy whities. Save your Hanes. Save your Fruit of the Looms. You're wasting money buying new drawers and being trying to be sneaky and hide it at the bottom of the laundry basket. She sees it. She sees it in there. She keep running out of bleach. And you keep wondering why she keeps sending you to the store for bleach. She trying to get them dookie stains out your drawers. Wash your ass, please. Thank you. What? That's my PSA for today.
Is it? God, there was... Oh, man. There was... Oh, fuck, I don't want to look up Ben Shapiro's Twitter account. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to have to do it. He tweeted something the other day that was just the closet is see-through for this guy. Unless he deleted it.
You know, I feel like sometimes I feel like he's soft enough to do that. Like, he wouldn't be.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He wouldn't stand on it.
It's like how he had to buy a plank of wood from Home Depot to own the libs, and then he put it in a small ass plastic bag. He was holding the wood and he had the plastic bag hanging off of it because it was too fucking big for the plastic bag. But he did it to own the libs because the libs like Lowe's more.
So he went to Home Depot and to buy?
Yeah, to buy wood. Wow. He bought a single plank of wood.
Oh, wow.
It was like, it was fairly long, but it was like a 2x4.
Yeah.
And then it was pretty long. And he bought a single piece.
Oh, wow.
To own the libs.
Yeah, he's a shareholder in Home Depot now. From that 1/6-foot piece of 2x4. Look at you go, Ben Shapiro. You're a maverick. You're a legend. There's just so many things that are just are mind-boggling to me about the boundaries, especially being a black man. Like, and I hear it, and I'm listening to podcasts, and I'm just like, I don't subscribe to this. This is going to be on a weird tangent, but I like sex. That's one of my favorite things to talk about. Sex education is something I think I want to get into at some point, because the level of it in the United States is awful. And a lot of adults don't know what they're doing. And, you know, even as much shit as I talk about Redford, we had fairly comprehensive sex education starting in like what, the sixth grade, from like sixth to like ninth grade.
I think it started in the fifth grade.
Like, it started in fifth grade.
Like, fifth grade was like base level, and then it went into more depth a little bit as the years went on.
Yeah, maybe fifth grade was just a blur because it was my first year in Redford, but I distinctly remember having it in sixth grade because that's when I got scarred. Because they had like this video depiction of what an erection was, but he had like this sharp, like, parabolic curve in his penis when it got erected in the graphic, and I was like, "Well, mine doesn't do that. Is there something wrong with me?" Like, his shit like a hook, like it
yeah.
was,
yeah.
And I was like, my penis doesn't do that. Is my penis broken? So that was my little bit of trauma from sex ed. But we had fairly comprehensive like sex ed, and it wasn't abstinence only. Actually, abstinence was barely brought up in our program. So like, the conversation was the only way to prevent pregnancy or catch an STI is abstinence, which is still kind of false because if you share needles, there are certain things you can do outside of having sex to catch an STI, but that was the only abstinence talk we had. And then everything else was pretty like comprehensive. We didn't talk about, you know, the pleasures of sex, but like the actual mechanics of how the body works, we learned about.
Right.
And a little bit of vulnerability here. I thought I was going to die a virgin. So what I did growing up was I researched it like a lot, just on the off chance that I did get to have sex, that I knew what I was talking about and knew what I was doing. So I end going down these rabbit holes, reading articles, listening to stories, watching videos, blah, blah, blah. I learned a lot. And what makes me upset is that I talked to a lot of my friends, and most of my friends are women, and they're like, "Jeremy, you teach me a lot more about my body than I learned in school ever." And I'm like, that's sad. Like, it's a pat on the back, sort of, but also it just makes me more sad than anything. But anyway.
Right.
People don't know about sex or anything like that. And
Ben Shapiro just tweeted something super
brutal. Sorry, go ahead. I'm I found the tweet.
You found the tweet. And so I'm listening to this podcast. It's called Horrible Decisions. The first half of it is whore, HWORE. And it's just two black women, they're interracial, just sharing their stories. And, you know, trying to make sex more normalized and make kinks and fetishes more normalized because, you know, you're never alone in your story. But they have like black male guests come on, and they are the most like standoffish, walls up, boundaries set, about the most like regular things. So,
but that's probably goes with another, the expectations of not being vulnerable even about small, simple things.
Yes, but some of them just logically don't make sense. So Apparently, I didn't know this because I don't subscribe to it and I didn't pay attention. I don't hang around dudes too often, but apparently there's this thing where a threesome is a male and two women, but a train is a male-male-female threesome.
I always thought it was more than three, but yes. See,
so that's what I thought. In my head, when someone said we ran a train on her, which, yes, I'm acknowledging, it's problematic, misogynistic, yes. But we're getting past that part because we already know that. I'm not saying it is a good thing to do. unless the person is like consenting and that's what they want done, fine. I always thought that was more than like
three it would have, guys. I would probably, right.
They're saying two guys and a woman is a train. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. There's three people.
It's a real short train.
That's what I said. What train do you see with an engine, one train car, and a caboose? That's a waste of rail space. Yeah. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. And they're like steadfast in that. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. The concept of a train doesn't make sense either, because anything more than four people, because we have a word for that, that's a foursome, anything more than four people involved is an orgy.
I suppose I guess a train wouldn't be necessarily how many people per se. It would be more of what those people are doing.
And that was the like, other part of it. That was the other part of it for me in my brain. It was that it was a dude coming in one time after another.
Right. And the guys don't touch each other.
They don't interact whatsoever.
Right.
But they all just do their thing and then they go. That's what a train was to me. And it's more than two guys.
I would say more than
three.
I would,
because again,
I would say if we go based off of purely like people doing their thing and leaving and not interacting with the next person that's coming in to do their thing, technically a train could be just two guys and a girl, but it would be very short. It wouldn't necessarily. It would be
No. But also but in the context of the conversation, that's not what it was. It was like the context was that she was getting somebody from behind and somebody from the front.
That's an Eiffel Tower.
If you clap hands in the middle.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Sorry. If you don't, it's a spit roast.
Yes. So, and these are actual terms used in the kink community. We are not making this up, but Eiffel Tower is a real thing. If the two dudes like clap hands in the middle, they form the Eiffel Tower. And then usually a spit roast is usually when a woman is upside down, one is in her mouth, one is in her vagina. I'm sorry, people. If you were not expecting this, I apologize. But I have to have the conversation because we got to get this stigma out of here. Even if the two men are having sex with the woman at the same time, that is a threesome.
Yes.
Because there are three people.
Yes.
Involved.
Even if the guys don't interact with each other, but they're both having sex with the woman at the same time.
That is a threesome.
That is still a threesome, yes.
And that's the same with if you have sex with two women and one guy, and the two women don't necessarily interact with each other, that is still a threesome.
Yes. Right?
And that leads into this whole conversation of like, we can have like men, but especially black men who want to have open relationships where they have like threesomes, but you can only bring another woman because I don't want to see you fucking another man. Or they have an open relationship where he can go have sex with women, but she can't go have sex with men. She can only go have sex with women. What?
Yeah, that's not a true open relationship. That's not just open. You just wanted to go fuck other people.
Yes. So, like those type of discussions, I really want to have like more in depth. I just don't know enough black men.
Get on the forums.
Close enough with to have said conversations.
Right.
Because like it seems not important because it feels like who the heck's having a bunch of threesomes? People are.
Right.
People are. And so these are conversations that we need to have. And we miss how those type of things intersect with other things in our life.
Right.
If your ego is telling you that it, your relationship can be open where you can go do what you want, but she's limited to what she can do, that's an ego thing that supersedes the sexual thing. And you're putting way more boundaries on her than you are putting on yourself. And that's right. going to cause division inside your relationship just because of your ego. And so I know that was a lot of sex talk in the middle, but the core of the thing is talking about how all of those things overlap and how if you check your own ego, things can get better. Things can shift in the paradigm and how we interact with each other can shift.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we're trying to keep our episodes short. Cody, I got the message from Cody like, hey, we're a little bit over an hour, or are we over an hour and a half? Over an hour.
It would be close to an hour and a half. Yeah, I think we're a little bit over.
Yeah, we're trying to reel it back in so we're not being too ridiculous.
Yeah. Real quick about the Ben Shapiro tweet.
Ah, yes.
He tweeted about a week ago at this point, there's a hard truth I discovered as a teen, but the woke left will never admit. Disney has forced gay thoughts into the minds of young men for decades. They shove visions of bare-chested hunks down your throat to inspire homoerotic fantasy and tease forbidden sexual awakenings. This is Disney's gay agenda stripped bare. And he tweeted a bunch of pictures of like Hercules, Aladdin.
Just jump on Grindr, Ben Shapiro. There's somebody 100 feet away who will be your Hercules daddy. Like, just let it happen, bro. The closet door is open. Just step.
Bare chested hunks.
No cis hetero man is describing a cartoon character as a bare chested hunk.
Oh, that was so funny.
Ben Shapiro, you the TikTok, but it is okay to be gay. It is okay to be bi. It's okay.
You had that awakening real early on.
Real early, you knew. Stop suppressing it. Let your ego get out the way. You don't have to. You're not supposed to be or do anything, Ben Shapiro, but yourself. Go live your best truth. Go get you a good old bare chest honky man.
And then let your wife get a wop.
It's so dry because she know he likes men. And he keeps trying to force his limp noodle dick inside of her. And she's just like, this is a vagina. You don't like these. Just go.
You don't like these.
Just go. Go live your truth, Bishop Hero. Let it go.
That might be funniest sentence. You don't like these. Just a girl can tell it's nothing's happening. Just stops him right there. You don't like these.
Yeah, just holding her own thighs, looking down, just like, sir, you don't like these. It's okay. I'll go home. I have a rose at home.
Oh, sweetie, it's okay.
I have a rose at home. It'll work this out for me. You go to therapy, you go to counseling, you go find you a bare-chested hunk.
It's okay. It is okay.
It is okay. It's okay. I think that's what he needs. He needs a hug. Someone who just pats his back and just say, it's okay, Ben.
Yeah.
We all know already. Yeah. You don't have to
come. Poor fella. Poor guy.
Jeez Louise. All right. My favorite streamer is not a streamer anymore.
Hey, I got time this weekend.
Oh, wow.
I have Thursday and Friday off, along with Saturday and Sunday.
Oh,
yeah, I got a 4-day weekend.
how nice of them. I don't have a 4-day weekend. I have Thanksgiving off.
Yeah, tomorrow I gotta do a Friendsgiving with some of Catherine's coworkers, which that's fine. I'm all for that's it. Nice. Yeah, should be a good time. Yeah, so I definitely plan on streaming at some point in these 4 days where I have time. Excuse me, sorry. You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/CommanderCody_212. And you can follow me on Twitter at Commander_212. I've been tweeting a little bit more on there than usual. So yeah, I've been playing the new Pokemon game that came out.
Oh, nice.
It's fun, but the graphics are a hot mess. We expected a lot more from Game Freak and Nintendo, considering their last game that came out was fantastic as an open world game, and it was supposed to be essentially a test drive for this game, and this one is so much worse.
Interesting.
Graphically, it still runs fine. I got no real complaints about it. It's just the graphics are not as sharp as you would think it would be. But it is what it is. So yep, you can find me on there. Those places. I'm tweeting a little bit more about my thoughts on games and what I plan on doing. So
awesome. And as always, you can find us on the gram at laugh_not_2_cry. Find us on Twitter at laughandthecryp1. You can find us on Facebook at laughandthecry. You can always email us at laughandthecry@gmail.com. Please like, subscribe, leave comments, suggestions, feedback, topics, anything. Mm-hmm.
As far as we are aware, the next one should have a guest on, right?
Yeah, we should have a guest. We should have a few guests coming up. Yep. As long as there's no more scheduling conflicts, we will have some episodes with some guests. So it'll be another voice besides ours, which I'm sure you guys would love. So also, if you're wanting to be a guest, you can always reach out to us. It'd probably be easier to get to us on the Facebook page or through the email. Cody has taken over some of the social media. He's much better about it than I am. So
I'm trying to be.
Just keep an eye out for those posts. We'll let you know when things go live. Remember, new episodes go live on Friday mornings now, because that's easier for my schedule. And yeah, until next time. Peace.
Peace.